The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I'm going to ask you to sit down. This is a long gospel. I'd rather have you listening to the gospel than worrying about when you're going to sit down. And the gospel I'm about to read you comes from Luke. And it's probably one of the most well-known stories in the Gospel of Luke. And as you'll hear, the obvious point of this is that we should be unscrupulous in all of our business practices, be cheaters if necessary, and the only thing we should worry about is ourselves and getting ahead. Well, that's not the point of the story you're about to hear. The point of the story is, wouldn't it be nice if we were as single-minded and as dedicated and as committed to our relationship with God as we are to gathering the things of this life? And here's the story. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking that position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, because people may welcome me into their homes. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill, make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. For whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will trust you with the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other, because you cannot serve both God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Fill us with your heart, your soul, and your mind, that we may hear. In his name, amen. This morning, I usually preach on the Gospels, but I love the Old Testament today. And so I'm going to share the lesson with you once again and talk about it. It comes from Amos, the prophet Amos. And he says, hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? Why, we will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit and with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of your deeds. You know, I just love the Old Testament, and I love the stories, and I love the people. This morning, the Old Testament lesson that you have before you comes from the prophet Amos. Now, Amos was a prophet who lived during the reign of Jeroboam II, and that was somewhere between 753 BC to about 793 BC. This was a time in Israel of tremendous prosperity. There was great peace in the world for them at that point. And because of that, they prospered. Israel was not threatened by any of its neighbors. It was a time when trade and commerce was at an all-time high. People were making money like they'd never made it before, making money hands over fist. But as is common when there is peace and prosperity, Israel too had become a two-class nation. It was very quickly becoming a nation of haves and have-nots. There was extreme wealth, but there was also extreme poverty in Israel. And again, as is so often common in times of great prosperity, the haves were constantly looking for ways to take advantage of the have-nots. That's what Amos was talking about. He talks about the crooked sales practices that had become commonplace in Israel at this time, that was prospering the wealthy and destroying the poor. How so? Okay. Somebody needs to buy a pound of wheat. Well, first of all, what we'll do is we'll get the government to officially mess with the scales, because there were government regulations back then about how much a pound was. So we'll just get the government, because we have influence there, and we'll get them to make 16 ounces, 14 ounces in a pound. Not only that, instead of charging a dollar for that pound of wheat, well, we'll charge a buck and a quarter. So we're going to give you less and charge you more. And that means we make a bigger profit. Oh, I have another idea. When we measure out the wheat, let's add some sawdust to the wheat. I mean, that way we'll be selling maybe now only 12 ounces of actual wheat for that dollar and a quarter. And by the time we grind it all up anyways and make it so they can make bread out of it, you know, they'll never be able to tell the difference. And by raising the price, we'll make more money. And if they don't like it, if they catch us doing this, what are they going to do about it? What are they going to do about it? It's not as if they can do something. I mean, where else are they going to go to get their wheat? Does any of that sound familiar? I mean, don't we see the same kind of practices carried on over and over again? Outsource the work to China. They can make it cheaper, and we can charge higher prices here. And if we use lead in the paint and a few children get sick and maybe even die, hey, just the cost of doing business. I remember there was a gas station in Worcester that was shut down eventually because he was adding water to his gasoline. And the way it was discovered is when cars stopped running in Worcester and they began to look in the gas tanks and find they were filled with water. It's hard to run a car on water. But he was increasing his profit margin. So often we find this kind of greed. That's what Amos was talking about. But it's talking about so much more than just simple greed. It's talking about, what do we do with the blessings that God has given to us? What do we do, not just with the financial blessings or the material blessings we have, but what do we do with all of the blessings God gives to us? Sometimes we squander them just on ourselves and think they were given just for us and to us. But the lesson is talking about really is, what do we do with those blessings? Because there's not one person here who can tell me that you have not been blessed by God in some way. I mean, some of us, obviously, as the story is talking about, have been blessed financially. Maybe we have good jobs and we've done well for ourselves. Maybe we made some smart business decisions and have done well for ourselves. Maybe we've invested wisely and done very well for ourselves. Maybe we've inherited wealth from parents or grandparents and have done well for ourselves. But the question that is asked by Amos today is, what do we do with all that? What do we do with those blessings? Amos would tell us that they are a gift from God, a gift that God has given to us to use wisely, to first of all help those who have not been so blessed, to make a difference in our world, to support worthwhile programs. What do we do with the blessings that we have from God? Do we use it to make this world a better place? Do we use it to touch the lives of others? Do we use it to support the missions and the ministries of the church so that the hungry can be fed and the naked clothed and the lonely visited, the lost hear about the love of Jesus? Or do we see it simply as something that's mine, for me to use, for me, because I deserve it? I think today at the meeting, and I don't mean to take thunder out of the meeting, But I think we're going to hear about somebody who felt that she had been blessed so that she could bless others. But some of us haven't been blessed with finances. Maybe that's not our gift, huh? Maybe we have been blessed with other things, special gifts. Some of these gifts I use to earn a living, maybe for my family. I can use my mind. I love details, so I'm an accountant, or I'm an engineer, or I'm good with my hands, so I'm a mechanic, or I'm a carpenter. Or we've all been blessed by God with talents. But God has given us these talents to share with the world. If you are a teacher, well, look for ways to use that teaching ability of yours. Maybe with children in Sunday school, or an adult Bible class, or a vacation Bible school, or confirmation. You know, I can't think of anything better for a person to do than to share the love of God with a little child and to make a difference. You know, I can still close my eyes, and I can still picture some of my Sunday school teachers. I'm not sure I'd be here this morning standing in this place, having done this for 45 years, if I didn't have some very, very patient and very kind Sunday school teachers. And I'm emphasizing patience. I was not an easy child. But they were very patient with me. And I think in some ways, because of them, I am here. Their gifts have multiplied. Maybe God has given you the ability to care. Well, there are always ministries that need people. The deacons who go out and visit people. Or you don't even have to be an official of this church to go visit people and care about people. Visit people in the hospital and show that your love is there, and so is the love of Jesus. Maybe your talent is music. You know, it's so nice to see our choir back with us again today. Wasn't it? There was four people who said yes, by the way, choir. It was nice to have them back, was it not?
Yes.
Very good. Maybe that's your talent. Maybe you can ring bells or play an instrument. You know, go talk to Paula. I'm sure she wouldn't mind having a few more instruments playing in church, or a few more people singing in the choir. Or we wouldn't mind having a few more bell people. Maybe that's your gift. But, you know, it's not just about St. Paul's either. You know, I go to a lot of meetings out in the community back in Worcester. And, you know, the one thing I hear all the time from people, can't find anybody to volunteer. One of the nice things about being retired is I can volunteer now. And I can do the things I want to do. You know, there are organizations, I'm sure, in Massillon here that could use volunteers. Or have you so stocked all your places like Red Cross and the food banks and all these wonderful, you know, charities in this town? Are they so stocked with people that there's no need out there? Is there no need for scout leaders or people to teach kids how to play soccer? I'm sure that in Massillon you have an overabundance of volunteers, right? Now, you're probably like every community, begging for volunteers. Look for ways to take your ability and make it a blessing for God. You know, I think as I look back through all of my careers, those who volunteered to help me as a child made me the person I am today, and I'm eternally thankful. And so now I can maybe pay it forward a little bit. In fact, I had an opportunity the other day. I went to see an old friend over at Westview Manor, which is a nursing home in Worcester, and I was walking down the hallway, and I heard this wonderful music being played, somebody playing on the piano, and somebody was singing. And I sort of was drawn to it. I wanted to see what was going on. And I got there, and they had brought a lot of the residents out of their rooms and put them in this little sort of lounge area. And there was one of my friends, a former member at Zion, was standing there singing, and his wife was playing and giving the people a wonderful time. He was taking something that was his and giving it to others to make their days a little brighter. And when I got done, I asked Dave, I said, well, this is great you're doing this. How long have you been doing this? He said, 27 years. I said, I didn't know. He said, it wasn't meant for you to know. Well, he was right. He was doing it for others, not for the applause. All of us have gifts and talents. And that's what Amos is talking to us about, to become difference makers in this world and in the lives of people, to take the gifts that God has given to us and to use them to make a difference. What's your gift? What is your gift? And please, don't come up to me after church and say, I don't have any gifts. Because then you're trying to tell me that God makes mistakes when he creates people. He gives everyone gifts. You all have gifts. What is your gift? And how can you use it to make a difference in your world? People always tell me that one person can't make a difference in the world. And my response always has been, tell that to Gandhi. Tell that to Jesus. It's always been one person that's made the difference. Amen.